for the sermonette today, I'd like to talk about how God can bless you individually. What is the mechanism by which He can do this? I have 2 points today. The first one is that we must live righteously. Again, this is nothing new, and this is all a part of the way of life that we now live. It's what almost every message is about, is that we are to follow a path, this path of righteousness. But anyway, I'd like to tie that in, how living righteousness is tied into blessings. And we'll talk about Abraham and Isaac a bit today. So if you could turn to Genesis 17, and you may want to kind of bookmark this portion of the Bible. We'll be coming back to it frequently. But in Genesis 17, in verse 1, we read, "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless.'" In other words, follow my way of life. Follow what the words that we now have in the Bible. In verse 2, "And I will make a covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." So if Abraham, or Abram at the time, were to live righteously, God would bless him. And verse 4 says, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." And he got more specific with how he would bless Abram. And then verse 6, it says, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." In chapter 26, if we can just scoot over to there, of Genesis, we see that God begins to follow through on this promise. And then verse 3 of chapter 26, again, it's talking to Isaac. It says, "Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give you, I'll give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed." And they have been. The promise that started off with Abraham went to Isaac, to Jacob, then to Joseph and his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and eventually to the United States and the United Kingdom. And we see just how blessed and how richly blessed Abraham, or we have been, because Abraham lived righteously and he kept God's law. Blessed is everyone who... Let me just finish in verse 5 of Genesis 26, and we find out then again why he was blessed. And it was because he obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Again, nothing left out that Abraham did not do. And it was basically, again, the word of God that we have today. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in His ways." That's Psalms 128 and verse 1. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways." Everyone who walks in His ways will be blessed. But you must seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. You will be blessed. Point number 2. We must do. And you fill it in. We must do. Again, there is an action that needs to take place. Of course, we know that it is God who gives the increase. In 1 Corinthians 3, we'll read verses 4 through 8, or at least skim the first couple. But in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 4 through 8, there's, I guess, some contention going on. Some people are saying, "Well, I'm of Paul, or you know, Paul was the one who baptized me. Paul was the one who taught me." Others are saying, "Well, Apollos taught me," and they were using this as some sort of, ingratiating of themselves, where they were saying, "Okay, I must be a lot better than you because of these guys having taught me or having baptized me or whatever." And then we see then in verse 6, it says, "I planted," and this is Paul speaking, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. So we have here that it is God that is given the increase, but there was something that he had to increase. There was something that was done. And again, in verse 8, though it does appear that he is appointing to a reward in the future, there's a reward now. And we can see this in Mark in verse 10. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. Mark 10, verses 28 through 30. So we find that it's not only in the future when Christ returns that we will receive reward for living righteously and doing what we're supposed to do, but even at this point. And we find that Peter here is being a little bit concerned about self, a little self-preservation kicking in. And he says, then Peter began to say to him, since we have left all and followed you, since we have left all and followed you. So Jesus said, Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you that there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Of course, that's thrown in. And in the age to come, eternal life. So if we are willing to do these things, we can have a blessing now and one in the future. And he talks about one that's a hundredfold. All right, so now back to Genesis. In Genesis 22 in verse 16 and 17. And again, we see some of these principles. And said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and of the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. So we see it's God that gives the increase for us doing our part and for doing something. The way that God increases is by multiplying. He multiplies the things which we have done. So we must do something in order that God can multiply it. Because if we do nothing, then 100 times nothing, as we learned in math, 100 times or 0 times anything is 0. So 100 times 0, our having done nothing, is still nothing. But if we get out there and do something, and we're living righteously in combination with that, then God can indeed bless it, and he can bless it 100-fold, if we can imagine that. We see an example of this. Again, go back to Genesis 26 and verse 12. Genesis 26 and verse 12, and again, this is Isaac continuing on from God promising him the blessings that he promised to Abraham. In verse 12 it says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. So we see it can happen, and it did happen. And it was in the same year, 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. So 100-fold wasn't prosperous enough. He became very prosperous. In fact, he became so prosperous that the Philistines envied him and became afraid of him and asked him to leave this area. And so he left that area and went to another, and again, he began to prosper again. And so it wasn't just happenstance that he was in the area that he was in and that it was just, it was a roll of the dice. It was because God was with him and he was doing these things. In fact, he did it so much so again that the Philistines who sent him away came to him afraid and said, look, it is obvious that God is with you. And we would like to just go ahead and make a little pact with you that you won't attack us. And for whatever reason, they wanted to do that because it was very evident to them that he was being blessed mightily. God does not bless just by fiat. He does not just make a pronouncement. He doesn't just do it out of the blue. Not that he can't do those things, because it's obvious that he can do whatever he wants. He can make things happen. But it's the principle that, and it's a principle of life, and I think we see this again with our children. And again, God is our Father, and we are His children, and when we have our children, we see the benefit of not just giving them things. I was just talking again with Jody, and I decided to go ahead and put this in my notes, but there was an example of a man who he followed a trust and their effect on the children who received them, a trust being the money set aside for somebody or for the child once they became, quote-unquote, an adult, which was 18 or 21. And these people who received these children, if you can call that, or young adults, who received the money without having to work for it and just were given a huge sum of money, almost always, and in fact, he said always, ended up worse off than before. They would get the money, and they spend it on drugs and partying, and then they wouldn't go to school, and then they ended up with a habit, a drug habit, and in the end, they spent all their money, had no education, and were worse off in the terms of their lifestyle. Whereas the child who had to work for something, and again, this is a principle we see, they develop good habits and character and things that will carry them in the future. And I believe that, again, this is one of the reasons that God does something like this, is He knows how we are. He knows He made us. He knows how we work. So, just briefly, as we consider these things, we must also consider the warning that comes also with this way of life. And I will just address it briefly, but in Deuteronomy 28, which we have called the blessing and cursings chapter, which is also prophetic in some respects as well, it talks about these things, and it warns us that God expects us to obey, and He expects us to do. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Again, if you obey, then blessings will come. And then they proceed for the next several verses to talk about the blessings. But then in verse 14 and 15, it says, "So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day," again, the commandments of God, "to the right or to the left, to go after other gods," in whatever form that may be, "to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." So he says in Deuteronomy 28, God expects us to obey. If we do not obey, there's cursings. If we do obey, there's blessings. And then in Matthew 25, we're all very aware of the parables there, and the one in the kingdom of heaven where the man traveling to a far country, and he gives everybody a talent. And the one that he gave one talent to went and buried it. And he had his excuses for why he buried it whenever the man came back. And in verse 26 of Matthew 25, it says, "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness.'" So, again, we see that we are to obey, and that we are to do. We cannot just bury the talents, but we must do our part. We must act righteously. We must apply these things, because these principles are both for spiritual and physical aspects of our life. And we must apply them in every way that we can. It's a simple formula, and it's summed up in James 1 and verse 25. James chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it." He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it in that way, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. God allows us to be a part of this process of him blessing us. So let's do our part so that we do not hold God back from doing his.